What's the most sustainable way to love fashion? It's changing the way you shop by shopping with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted source for authenticated luxury resale. When you shop with The RealReal, you'll find the luxury brands you love, like Prada, Celine, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail. And when you're ready to refresh your wardrobe, you can sell the pieces you no longer wear to fund your next new to you finds. Buy, sell, repeat. Guilt-free. The RealReal extends the life cycle of luxury by keeping coveted items in rotation. Sell to shop, shop to sell with The RealReal. It's better for the planet and better for your closet. Plus, during Earth Month, you can earn $100 extra when you sell with The RealReal. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn $100 extra during the entire month of April at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, hour number two starts now. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, myself, and Aaron Rabold as we welcome Aaron in as he drives with us on the next 2 hours of the show and then takes the Blitz home till 7. We were talking DeAndre Hopkins, Barry, before the break. He has now had a video chat conference call with the media and said that he was extremely excited about the trade when he heard about it. He said it wasn't a surprise to him that he had heard rumors about potentially being traded as early as the start of the 2019 season. He was working out in L.A. with Julio Jones on the morning of March 16th and heard that he was going to the Cardinals as a possible destination. And his quote was, "I was very excited, actually, about it because of what Arizona has been building, having a young quarterback, a young team, and also having veterans." He also went on to say that it's between his agent and the organization to work out any kind of an extension. But talking about himself in the third person, he said, "DeAndre Hopkins goes out and works out every day to prepare myself to get my team the opportunity to win a championship wherever that's possible. So, you know, everything behind closed doors, that's between my agent and the organization."
Well, that's weird. I liked the dude until he started talking about himself in the third person.
That is awfully weird. We've got a lot of people you've called weird today, but normally I disagree with you. Today I'm not. That is weird.
Oh, you do agree Dan Patrick's a weirdo. Okay.
Absolutely. Cool. And then the other thing is, and I hope there's more to this, we're just missing it, but why isn't the media prodding him more on what we did to Bill O'Brien on this end and saying, hey, what was the real story with, you know, the practice habits, or did this meeting that you talked, that Michael Irvin talked about, did it happen? And what was the real crux of it with Bill O'Brien? Someone at some point is going to break, slip up, or has to give us something in terms of a morsel of accuracy and how bad it really was between these two guys. Because, as I mentioned, Evan Silva, who was on with the bench this morning, that's the other thing that he said, Lance said, was when you have a player as special and as talented and as young as DeAndre Hopkins, you may not get along with him and like him off the field, but you find a way to make it work while you're at work. And that's something that I've always thought.
Yeah. I mean, you get an argument from me. This is it's becoming depressing that we're talking about it, but so much. But that's it. I mean, you didn't make it work. You should have made it work, and now they're in spin mode, and it's too late. I mean, you can't unring the bell on this one. I don't know. I doubt we're ever going to hear from them other than what we got from Bill O'Brien, because it's going to be, hey, look, We gotta let this play out. Let's move on. But you're never going to get the rationale behind the move other than what he's given us.
And
I don't believe that that's the real reason either, the ones he's giving us, because he's never going to come out and say, look, he didn't practice hard, and that's important to me. But
well, and what I was going to say is I want, just like you do and all the Texans fans do, we want the real story. But I think Hopkins is going to play it the way he's been playing it, and he's smart too, because he has nothing to gain – by going back at it now. Now that the deal is done, he gets his fresh start. He's going to get his contract extension. He has nothing to gain except for it, unless he really wants to stir it up even more for O'Brien with Texans fans, which, I don't think he's that petty. But I think that overall, Michael Irvin probably said enough so that he doesn't have to say any more. Because basically, there hasn't been anybody that's flat out denied any of that. They've skirted around it, but they haven't denied it. And I think that, you know, from the jump, if Hopkins would have said, Mike's speaking out of the, you know, both sides of his mind, he shouldn't be talking like that, and he doesn't know, he wasn't there. But I think enough has already been said that there's more, where there's smoke, there's fire. There had to be some truth to at least some of that.
And sadly, we're never going to know.
No, at least for now, we're not. Unless someone writes a book someday.
I don't think it's that important, but yeah.
Well, you know, you never know. Bill O'Brien continues to defend the trade by talking about David Johnson, but the more importantly, the thing is, his life goes on, and at least he was able to do a Zoom chat in his backyard yesterday, if you saw any of that.
I did.
You got, oh, my God. Yeah, just sitting in the backyard.
Billy O doing it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Trees in the backyard, glasses on his head. You know, just, it was really weird. It was like he was on a picnic and decided, or on vacation, and decided to take 10 minutes with the media. But then other NFL news that's kind of interesting. Now we have our second NFL positive test for coronavirus, and this one is a very well-known player. Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, former A&M star, linebacker of the Broncos, has tested positive. So he is quarantining at his house, but I thought you'd get a kick out of this. He was on the Today Show this morning, and his quote was, "I've really been taking this serious, staying at home. Of course, I got people coming in and out, like workers, maids, people that come and do the plumbing, just everyday stuff, but really nothing crazy." Pretty sure when you got it and you're taking it serious, you're not supposed to be having people in and out.
No, that kind of flies in the face of the whole social distancing, because the purpose of social distancing is to avoid people, you're not doing that. So,
well, especially since when Chris Cuomo had it, and he was locking himself in his basement and even staying away from contact with his family to avoid his family getting it, and his wife got it. Well, if Von Miller's door's open and you got maids and plumbers and everybody in and out, I'd be concerned if I was one of those workers.
Same.
Hey, I got the coronavirus, but you're here to fix the toilet? Yeah, come on in. It's out the third door on the right. Just help yourself.
Yeah. Here, let me show you. No, I'll find it. I'll find it. You don't need to get up. Please don't get up.
Mask? No, I've seen the mask. I'm already on Netflix. I'm watching Tiger King. But you do what you got to do, and let me know when you're done. It's crazy. So, just thought I'd throw that last NFL note in on you, because look, again, with everybody talking about trying to open up, you know, training camps on time and trying to get the season underway, these are the things that are going to set back sports more than they're going to get things going, because in these team environments, that's the last thing you can afford to have.
Yep. Yeah, so, especially star players like Von Miller. You don't want, you know, could you imagine if LeBron gets it and they're trying to get basketball going again? Could you imagine if Mike Trout gets it right before baseball kicks off? Could you imagine if Patrick Mahomes gets it and the NFL's like, well, at least we're going to have a full season, and now you're going to just have players missing? You might have the season, but if you don't have your stars, it's not going to be the same.
You bring up a great point, because it's one thing if Trout gets it now and you say, you know what, injuries happen during the regular season, and so we would just have to get, you know, a player to replace him for however long he's going to be out. It's another thing if, as we talked about, the NBA was about 18 games from the playoffs. Whether they blow it off completely, do abbreviated regular season finish, whatever they do, the playoffs are right around the corner. If someone gets it, and you mentioned the absolute epitome of how bad it could be, if LeBron gets it in the middle of a playoff series and has to be quarantined for like a week or 2 weeks or 2 weeks minimum, and they lose because of it, now that's a story bigger than whoever ends up winning it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is going to be a huge deal.
Yeah. That's the worry. That's why I think the leagues really have to, and I know that they've tried, but I say I know they've tried. Have they? Because we see where Dak is having parties. Who was it with? Was it Dak and Zeke?
Dak and Zeke, yeah.
Are having parties, and then Jerry Jones has to be like, bro, what are y'all doing? You can't get together. So I think that everybody kind of knows, and there's videos being made and commercials being run. And at the end of the day, I think these athletes always feel like, because of who they are, they've been alpha males their entire lives, that they can't get it, that they're invincible. And because these are young kids, and young kids think that they don't get sick, and especially if you're an alpha male athlete with millions of dollars, you feel like a god. You feel untouchable and invincible. And then you get it, and you mess everything up. So I think there needs to be more education. They're like, guys, seriously, it would almost behoove these leagues, which they won't do, but it would almost behoove them to be like, if you get this and it was because you were at a party, then you might as well have been riding a dirt bike and jumping ramps and broke an ankle. We're not going to honor your contract if you did something stupid. Now, if you just contracted it because you were at the locker room, that's one thing. But if you're throwing parties like Dak and Zeke and you miss games, we're not paying you.
But you get it, Barry, right?
You take it more serious that way.
You understand why they have that feeling of invincibility, because of all the athletes that have got it, most have said they were basically asymptomatic. They didn't feel anything or have any symptoms, and they got over it. You look at Rudy Gobert. You look at Donovan Mitchell. You look at the NBA guys that have had it. You look at Von Miller flippantly saying, yeah, I'm staying at home, but and I'm taking it serious. But, I mean, for the most part, because they are the very, very epitome of the smallest of any demographic to, if they get it, get over it quickly, because they're fine-tuned athletes. In most cases, when you talk to the doctors, it's about getting enough sleep. It's about making sure you eat non-processed foods and fruits and vegetables and everything to build up your immune system. So even if you do get it, that you can get over it and get over it quickly. They are the smallest percentage, but yet they are the most publicized when they do get it. But if you're a player, that's why you're flipping, because you go, you know what? I've seen six of my buddies in different leagues. They got it. They had it. They're done with it. It was nothing. Most of them said they didn't even feel it.
Yep.
So they're not paying close enough attention to all of the cases. That's my biggest problem.
It's that feeling of invincibility, man.
Yeah. And with it, and worth mentioning, is the fact that we talked about, with everything going on with the pandemic, a lot of people are out of work, so a lot of people are having a hard time paying bills. A lot of people also having a hard time paying rent. Feel-good story here. But ex-Astros center fielder, University of Houston baseball player, Michael Bourne, still lives in H-Town. He owns three apartment complexes with about 60 tenants. He was so concerned with how they were doing during the pandemic and had heard from them, reaching out to them, that they were going to have a hard time paying rent. He just went ahead and waived rent for April and expects to do it again in May.
Wow. That's
You
really
want to talk
cool.
about a great gesture. That's amazing.
That's great.
Absolutely good for him. And Mark Berman interviewed him yesterday. I can retweet the tweet, but I'll just say this. With all the other things that you got where landlords, whether they're evicting or not, are knocking on doors, changing locks, or threatening people if they don't pay their rent and not caring about their circumstances, to have a guy in a position to do something like this and to do it, that's pretty amazing.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. So I wanted to make sure we mentioned that for the peeps, so you know that there is good people out there and good stories as well as we continue to roll. I do want to get to this at some point, too, because we've already covered the Pornhub portion of the program. But there's a story that says that during the pandemic, dating and sex apps are buzzing with activity and numbers are going through the roof. This could be a bad sign for the virus spread.
Uh-oh.
Yes. So we can get to that at some point, as well as a lot of other things. By the way, Barry, you got sports on TV tonight. I think the WNBA draft is coming up. So,
If you're interested, I'll be all right.
It's something to keep
guess
you
who's, guess who's joining me tonight?
Who is the guest tonight?
Nicholas Sherrara.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Is that why he's preparing for you and sending texts and pictures?
You're a jerk.
We'll be back with more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, and Nick Sciarra.
My car broke down recently at a gas station. It was terrible. I filled up my tank, and then I went in, and I just went to turn the ignition, and it just wouldn't go. And it's hot outside, and it's so frustrating because it's like the simplest part of the process that you never have to think about. And it's just not working, and I'm starting to kind of lose it, and I'm sweating. And luckily, this local meth head was just coming around the corner. I was like, oh, what's going on over there, stranger? So we're good. We're fine. He's like, no, hold on. I think you're far from good. Let me take a little look. And proceeds to just anaconda his way into the window of my Ford Focus. I was like, well, there's your problem right there, buddy. Look at that ignition cylinder. It's filthy. You got some cat hair, some grease in it. Oh, I'll tell you what. I'm going to tell you something, partner. In that store right there, they sell cans of compressed air, keyboard cleaner. You go get me one of those. I'll come out here. I'll clean this up. We'll get your rig back on the road. How's that make you feel, cowboy?
I'll go.
All right. So, guy in the store came out. He's like, hey, man, I got that keyboard cleaner. He's like, oh, cool, man. We're going to get this rig going again. I feel good about this. Hold on. Getting there real quick.
Yeah, your ignition's fucked.
So I ride the bus now, which is...
There's our comedian of the week on an FBF Friday. F for funny, Tim Williams. Barry gave you a little backstory in hour number one.
Well, I don't think the whole joke went out because we didn't get the bleeped version. But, hey, it's a hilarious joke, and he's a hilarious dude.
Where were you on not airing it out on the air, just hoping things slide by? All right. Mm-mm.
Well, because
okay. No, that was like, going to be noticeable.
Huh? Yeah. I mean, you act like nobody's going to not notice that they missed the last 8 seconds of the joke, Joel. We're just going to act like it didn't happen? Oh, boy. At Tim
People
Williams
are
Comedy
back
on Twitter. Search Tim Williams on Facebook and YouTube. Yeah, that dude's funny. Go follow. Go support. He's a local comic. People always asking me about local comics, so there you go. He's a good one.
There you go. Anything exciting on social media before we get into more?
Not a whole lot. I mean, you know, nothing crazy.
Okay.
Nothing
I mentioned
special.
This before the break. It says, and people, TMZ has got the latest article too. There's warning signs if you are looking at the possibility of a resurgence of the virus because of what they are learning from the data on dating and sex apps recently. There is an app, Sensor Tower, that actually looks into traffic on popular dating and sex apps, including Tinder, Bumble, Grindr, and millions of people are looking for love even more during the pandemic. A month ago, just before all this started, Tinder had weekly traffic of around 9.3 million users. It has since surged to 10.2. So that's up.
Wow.
Tinder users swiped 3 billion times. Bumble had 3.63 million a month ago. It has gone swelled to 3.88
right.
million
Settle
in the
down.
Final week of March. Now settling in at 3.67 million users.
Wow.
So, and they say app downloads are way up too, according to the Sensor Tower data. Between Tinder, Grindr, and Bumble, there were 2 million downloads in March alone, either new accounts or people re-downloading their account on other devices. Downloads for this month are approaching 1 million.
Oh. Oh, boy. That's,
And it says,
I mean, people are horny. They're always going to be horny, even if there's a pandemic. So, you can't stop the... Can't stop people from banging it out, apparently. They're going to do it no matter what.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing is, too, is that, I mean, unless they're doing Zoom chats for the first date, it's obvious to see why the people are a little worried about the pandemic coming back, because if they're taking it this far, they're probably going to go a little further
mm-hmm.
if they like what they're looking at.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's some... scary, scary stuff.
Dude, if weirdo guys will do stuff in parking lots of Targets, shout out to, or was it a Walmart? Kellen Winslow Jr. If dudes will, you know, pleasure themselves in the parking lot of a Walmart, what makes you think they're not going to risk getting coronavirus to meet up with a chick? Dudes don't care. If you look, I guarantee you right now, Joel, I promise you, and we could poll our listeners, but I promise you, if you took a poll right now and said would guys risk getting coronavirus to have sex with a crush, a hot chick that they've always wanted to have sex with, but if you did, there's a 80% chance or a 90% chance you get coronavirus, would you do it? I would be willing to bet you that the poll, at least 75% of men polled would say yes.
I agree with you. I mean, what's the Jordan response to the clip we when the
yeah.
clip we played?
How bad's the headache?
How bad's the effing virus?
Yeah.
How bad's the effing virus? I'm in. Let's do it.
I mean, you don't. You have no idea. You're going to get it. You don't know. You could be asymptomatic. You could die. That's the range of what you – and no one can predict how you would respond to it. But the fact is, if you have sex with her, there's a 90% chance you're going to get it. And then what happens after that, nobody knows. I guarantee you 75% of the dudes will be like, I'll risk it. I'll do it.
I think you're right. I think 75
might
even be low.
That number might be low.
That's what I said. Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, yeah. Think about it. There's some people out there that think they never get their shot. Now they get their shot. The only chance is the residual effects could be life threatening. I think they're gonna roll the dice on that one.
They're doing it. I fully believe that. Man. Would you?
No.
If you're a single dude, you're single.
Oh well, give me the variables. All right, let me.
Yeah, you're single. She's a 10 out of 10. You have always wanted. To visit Pound Town, right? You have always wanted to take that trip. And you know that you can do it. She says, yes, come over. But I have coronavirus, and I'm not wearing a mask, and neither can you. There's a 90% chance you're going to do it. You're going to get it. But you're going to get to take that trip to Pound
Town. Setting it up like that, I'm out. Nope.
Really?
Yeah, there's other fish in the sea that can at least get the end result,
yeah,
even if it isn't
this
quite
is that,
the same level, but still.
Bro, this
so
is
what
that,
are you? Are you doing
this
it?
This is Charlie's. Hell yeah, I'm doing it.
You're doing it with a 90% chance to get the coronavirus.
If she's a 10 out of 10 and I've always wanted
so
to.
So what?
Okay, now let's do it this
You're
way.
You're a confident guy. You don't think that there's a chance that you could land another 10 or close to it without a coronavirus involved?
No way I'm getting another 10, bro. No way. No way, no how.
Looking like
if
you look now,
Sofia
or
Vergara.
Like you look like
okay,
back then.
Let's up the stakes a little bit. Who's your favorite chick in Hollywood? Is it Sofia Vergara?
I mean, there's a few.
Why do we got to limit it to just one? Sofia Vergara. What's the other one? Eva Mendez.
Yeah,
which one do you think is hotter? Or who's the hottest chick in Hollywood to you?
Man, I don't know. Sofia Vergara is up there in terms of just the overall assets.
All right, so you have a chance to have sex with Sofia Vergara, but there's a 90% chance you're going to get coronavirus at the same time.
Stakes are too high. I'm not doing it. If it was
really?
A 10% chance, if there was a 10% chance like the MJ situation – and it's only a 10% chance, I got a 90% chance of surviving this and going forward, that I'm doing it. If there's a 90% chance I get it,
no.
I'm out.
You're the variable in this is we don't know how the coronavirus is going to affect you. You may only just get like – you may not even get a fever. You may just may have a cough for 2 days. Or you may die. You just don't know. But what you do know is you're going to get it. But you don't know what kind of symptoms – or if
so
you
you're
going to
get it, but you may, you're also possibly going to get it. I'm out.
Really? Aaron, what say you, buddy? Would you do it? If you're the hottest chick in Hollywood that you think is the finest that, oh my God, if you ever had the opportunity, whoever that, and by the way, who is that? Who
do you think? Probably either a
Black Diamond.
I don't know who that is again, Joel. Yeah. I'm glad you have a number one.
That's
so we know who his number one is going
now.
Forward.
I did it intentionally. Jeez.
Probably a toss-up between Sophia Bush or Sarah Chalk.
So Sophia Bush says, calls you, Aaron, come over, let's bang it out. But I got corona and no protection, and you can't bring protection. 90% chance you get the virus. You doing it?
I'm single?
Yeah, you're single.
It's already done.
That's what I'm saying. Holly Berry calls me. I'm like, yo, let's get this corona, player. Let's go get this corona. I'm doing it.
Is this part of the, you've already been tested and show that you don't have the antibodies, so it hasn't passed through your system already?
This is nothing. This is right now.
Because I think break, I wouldn't be shocked if I get over. Tested and they're First like, all, oh, yeah, you've already job. Had it.
No, just do what?
I wouldn't be shocked if that I were to go get tested. They'd be like, oh, yeah, you had the antibodies. Because I had a cold 2 months ago and apparently it can disguise itself like a cold.
Yeah.
So I might have already had it. Who knows?
Well, that's what I'm saying. So, you know, is it worth
the
risk?
I'll take that chance all day.
Yeah. I'll take the chance because, Joel, there's a 10% chance you don't even get it.
Yeah, well, okay.
Yeah.
I don't like those numbers. I don't think that any gambling odd. You can go to Jerry Bowe. I mean, go to the Blitz.
He's a dad Jerry now. Bowe, he won't take that chance because he can't separate the fact that he's still a dad.
Yeah, Joel. If
okay,
Jerry
I'm not
going
to deny
if
that,
you told
Aaron.
Jerry
but I'm just
Bowe,
saying.
You get there's a pile of $10 million, and if in cash. And you take it home, there's a 90% chance you're going to get coronavirus if you do it. He's going to take the money. Like, he's going to take those odds because the stakes are so high. Because the reward is so great. Sofia Vergara is $10 million worth, bro.
Okay.
I can't believe you would
I
do
see
that.
With you positioning it like that. But if you position it like that, you're going to – but there's still – you position it with the odds against you that 90% you're going to get the coronavirus. I think that changes things.
Doesn't change it for me because all you had to say was Holly Berry. Say no more, fam.
Okay. Well, that, you know, and we always know that she's high on your list. So
even though she's old and crazy, I would risk getting the Rona for her.
Okay.
And I can't believe you wouldn't, Joel. I think you're lying. I think deep
I'm
down
not
you
lying.
Would. You
I
just
want to
be
because
you're
you know
playing
what?
A conservative. Is Lisa standing there?
No,
Lisa
no,
she's
not. I
room?
Still would have confidence in my abilities that I would be able to get. No I'm way. Not going to get her, maybe, but I'm going to no get way. Good enough, and I'm not going to get the coronavirus no for getting it, so I'm not doing it that way.
You got one shot, bro. Mom's spaghetti. Risk it all. Let's go.
Hey, Eminem, I just told you what I'm going to do. I'm sorry I didn't go with the way you wanted me to answer it, but I'm going with the way I want to go with it. All right, with that, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Second half of the show comes up next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Slurring my life, but I'm nailing the
meaning. This is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Here comes the second half of the show. It's The Usual Suspects on an Friday in the big city. And looking out the window, it looks like there's a better than average chance it's going to rain this afternoon. Mm. The humidity is back. The cool, crisp, beautiful days of this week are gone. And if you want to be a real pessimist, like my man Justin Stapleton on Channel 2 yesterday, he basically said, well, see you in October if you like this week's weather. That's demoralizing. You think the virus is tough to deal with? The fact that he basically sets you up for saying heat and humidity until October. Here we go.
Damn.
God, that sucks.
Mm-mm-mm.
Not a fan of all of that. So we roll on. I got a little baseball for you. A couple things.
Okay.
But first story that came that I saw that I was a little surprised at, but it wasn't. Two Astros fans are suing the team, looking for over $1 million, it looks
oh,
like.
Oh, God.
All right? But my first inclination was to say, okay, they're going to be one of those that think that because there was cheating going on that somehow
it affected their experience and therefore they want their money back. But no, turns out that they were at Game 7 of the 2019 World Series at Minute Maid Park. They were minding their business. They were in their seats when they were escorted from their seats, taken to a fake or to an alleged jail in the stadium, which I don't know if it exists, as they were said to have purchased tickets or had tickets that were not authentic, and therefore they were basically escorted out of the building. Oh, no, they were arrested.
Okay.
So it says they were taken to the quote-unquote jail at Minute Maid Park, then spent the night in a local jail, then were charged with criminal trespass. However, the charges were later dismissed by a judge. I'd be pissed, too.
Yeah, but I don't know that $1 million pissed.
Well, but here's the thing.
Come on.
If they had legit tickets, right? If they didn't do this themselves, and even if they, you know, mistakenly bought these tickets from, you know, someone that did forge them or did whatever they did, you're telling me that in trying to get, because I've had this happen, I've seen this happen, I wouldn't say a million times, but a lot when I was working for the Rockets. And there are ways to make it work for both parties, unless you're absolutely convinced these were the people that actually did the forging and the counterfeit tickets. But Game 7, you're going to throw them in the jail at the stadium, then put them in the county jail, and then charge them and keep pressing. I would say, and they said that they attempted on several occasions to contact the Astros. The Astros would not respond to any of their communications. Therefore, they felt it necessary to take this approach. And they're looking for up to $1 million each guy.
Come on. That ain't worth a million.
But you start high, right? You're going to negotiate out of it anyway. So you start
high. Yeah, starting high would be $500K.
I would say that, you know, again, you kind of hold the cards at least early on. Now it's out, the cat's out of the bag. But I think early on, you know, you run the gamut and go, hey, I got control here because it hasn't gone public yet. If I go public with this, it's another bad look for a franchise that doesn't want any more bad looks. So hit me up. But if you're also pissed that they never called you back, never got back with you, and you feel like you were wronged, now I'm starting at a mill, and I'll worry about coming down later.
Yeah, but then there's the point where it just looks silly and frivolous, and
most of these things look silly and frivolous. Most of these lawsuits, in terms of the cheating and everything else, too.
Yeah, that's true. Did you see? Have you? You're not on. You don't really participate on your Instagram, do you?
I do. Yes, I do.
Oh, do you still post stuff?
I post pictures. I post comments. I got into it back and forth with a buddy of mine that. Said that the Rockets would have never won a championship if MJ never retired. Yeah, definitely. I'm still on Instagram and communicate with people. Yep.
Well, I'm on there and I try to be pretty active. And you get ads a lot.
I blocked you, by the way. That's why I don't see that.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, I unblocked you on Twitter and followed you, and you didn't follow back. So guess who got unfollowed? You did.
I didn't see it, but I'm not going to lose any skin.
You can't follow back. That's how where we're at. I should just go back and block you.
What are you talking about? I never blocked you. I follow you all along.
Well, nope. You're not right following me now, Joel.
Well, you're right, because I'm going to block you.
But on Instagram, I started seeing ads for some company or some law firm. It's like, were you a fan of the Astros in 2017? Get in on our class action lawsuit. Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
This is
the best thing you can do as a law firm. This is where you're focusing your time, is suing a sports franchise because you're mad that they cheated. It's beyond ridiculous.
Yep.
That they're literally running ads. I mean, it's bad enough when you know some of the ads that you might see from and they're legitimate lawyers out there. They're legitimate law firms. Don't get me wrong. Lawyer Dave is a great dude, and I think he has the best interest of his clients in mind. But then there's people that are just taking advantage of a situation. And if you're trying to get a class action lawsuit to sue the Astros for banging trash cans, you're probably not on the up and up here.
No, I totally get it, and you're right, because we see there's commercials all the time. Was it, have you used Roundup weed killer in the past, you know, 3 years? Do you have a third arm?
I use Roundup
all
the time.
Call us. Oh, that explains a lot. but, yeah, I mean, look, there are lawyers out there that are just trying to make a buck, and the bigger the lawsuit, the bigger their chances they think of cashing in. But, I mean, I think all these Astros lawsuits are a little bit of a stretch on cheating on in this case. Now, here's the other thing. So I'm thinking about this more, but if they legitimately just, you know, saw the guy on the corner walking to Minute Maid Park, they both wanted to go to Game 7. The guy's got, I got a pretty sweet deal for you, but, you know, the tickets are going to cost you, say, $500 piece. And they're like, you know what? Once in a lifetime chance to go to a Game 7, I'm in. So you're all excited. You're going to a Game 7, cross it off your bucket list. You're going with your buddy. You each paid $500. You're in your seats. You're having a good time. All of a sudden, now all of that bubble's burst. Now you're going to be held and not going to see the rest of the game. On top of that, they're then going to throw you in jail. Then they're going to put charges on you. I'm pissed enough that I might say that $1 million might be light for me in terms of embarrassment, depending on what you do for a living, all these other things you got to call if you're going to make it, if you don't make it to work the next day, a lot of things. I'm going crazy on this one.
Do you blame the Astros? They didn't sell them the counterfeit tickets.
But this is what I'm saying. Okay, so what
they didn't know. I mean, it's not the Astros' fault. It's like if you buy a stereo from some dude in the parking lot of a Buc-ee's who's selling, you know, a home stereo equipment, and you buy it, and then the cops raid your house for stolen goods. It's not the cops' fault that you bought stolen stereo
equipment.
You
know, and I hear you, but here's what our ticket department would do. One of the reps would end up, and there are authorities there, and one of the reps, like, I've had times where the authorities were able to get to the bottom of it with a few questions and questioning to realize they got the actual guys. And at that point, then they took them down for processing. But if you sit down and one of the reps sits with you and talks with you, and they have they answer a few questions, and you can pretty much either pinpoint how the tickets got the 6 degrees of separation to getting into their hands, what ticket holder may have had them, you know, whose account the tickets were under. But they'll ask enough questions to realize if these people truly are naive and oblivious to the situation and not deserving of this, that they don't deserve to be prosecuted. They don't deserve to be punished and put in a jail cell at the stadium and then otherwise. And then they have a certain amount of seats within the building that are used for troubleshooting where they can say, hey, look, you can't go back to those seats, but we want to make this right. And then you just put them in a different pair of seats for the night.
But why is it on the Astros to make it right? Because they bought counterfeit tickets. How about next time go to a legitimate source?
Barry, you don't want to crap on your fans. I know you think when you're a successful team, you think your fans never are endless. I'm here to tell you that I've lived through people that thought that way, and it's not always the case. But you don't want to lose fans over the fact that, especially if you find out later that they were right, that they didn't do anything wrong. I mean, I don't think you want to crap on people like that. You want to try and do the right thing.
They bought scalp tickets. Isn't that wrong, regardless?
Not necessarily. People buy scalp tickets all the time.
Okay. I mean, there's a risk. There's 100% risk that when you buy tickets like that in the aftermarket, that you're going to get counterfeit tickets. It's just like it's like anything else. Buyer beware, right? And that's not the Astros' fault. What, at the end of the day, they had counterfeit tickets.
It doesn't
in
necessarily
their possession,
even if it's not
period.
Their fault. They look a hell of a lot better if they still try and rectify it and do the right thing or do a nice thing instead of doing the opposite.
But it's. I mean, if you buy something off of eBay and it turns out to be counterfeit, you knew what you were doing. I mean, you knew the risk that you were taking. You should go to an authorized dealer or retailer. And it's the same thing with tickets. I don't feel sorry for these dudes. I'm sorry. I just don't.
Obviously not. All right. So we, not shockingly, we agree to disagree. And we'll move on. So we'll continue to roll through hour number two of the 3-hour show. If you want to join us, we'd love to have you. 713-780-3776. Call that number, text that number, or hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Here
of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You're listening to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, and Nick Sharara.
Nick's out. Aaron Raybould's in for the final 2 hours of the program. Then his regular show, The Blitz, will be on after us. They'll take you all the way till 7 o'clock tonight on ESPN 97.5 as we continue to roll, covering a lot of ground on a lot of topics. Barry, I think you'll be happy about this.
I'll be the judge of that.
All right. Then I'll give you the details. Governor of the Kenyan capital city, Nairobi, Mike Sonko, has confirmed that his COVID-19 care packages include a few small bottles of Hennessy. The governor justified the inclusion of alcohol and said it's throat sanitizer. That's straight from CNN. You know
nice.
What? During a time like this, I like it. A little humor and a little alcohol never hurt anybody. And go ahead and enjoy. You know, they're doing the right thing with the COVID-19 care packages. And in the meantime, he also says, hey, you know what? Drinks on me.
I'll shoot. I haven't drank this much in my life. I'm not even – that is not even the slightest fabrication.
Now, are you still doing – like I saw you drink with AJ that night, but you were saying that – you know, you'll sit there during each one of these sessions, each one of these nighttime YouTube live chats. Are you cracking the top on some booze?
Every night I have 2 glasses of whiskey and Coke every night. And now, mind you, the only time that I normally sit down and drink or the only time that I will normally – on occasion I'll sit down and I'll just feel like having a drink. So, you know, maybe I'll make steaks and drink a whiskey Coke or whatever, whiskey diet I should say.
Right, right.
But when I'm on stage, I always have a drink with me.
Yeah,
just because
that's why, yeah.
For a lot of reasons, the timing and all these other things, there's a million reasons why I take a drink with me on stage. Superstition, relaxing the nerves, all that stuff, right? So on nights or weekends that I'm performing comedy, I may have 2 – in a night, but they're spaced out over 2 shows, and that's only on a Friday and Saturday. Every night since April 2nd, I have sat down and had at least 2 drinks, and that's so unlike me.
That's during the duration of the shows.
Yeah, and they're about an hour to an hour and a half.
Yeah. All right. Here's what I suggest you do tonight.
So
I've
gone through 750 milliliter bottle of Crown already, and I'm halfway through my other one. And okay. these are not shot
glass pours.
You better
get some
more
than
more than
tonight,
that.
Tonight, if I'm you, you have 3 before you even start, just so you're on an even playing field with Nick.
I'm going to have to catch up with Nick.
Yes.
Oh,
you got to have 3 before you start, just so you guys at least are close to even when you press go.
Boy, you don't think alcohol is not going to be consumed with both of us tonight doing the live chat? It is going to go down.
As Nick would say, yeah. Yeah.
There's a pretty, pretty, pretty good chance. And I will say if you want to just shameless plug, if you want to watch Nick, and I think, boy, I tell you what, AJ brought him out. He's a popular fella.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of folks tuned in for his. So if you want to watch Nick at Barry is Funny on YouTube or Facebook or Twitch, I'm getting my Twitch game getting a little stronger, bro. I played MLB The Show last night and, you know, had a decent little number tuning in to hang out and talk smack. And Eric Resendez was giving me the business, boy. He was relentless last night with how he was going after me. It was hilarious.
Well, kudos to Eric Resendez then.
Yeah, okay.
you didn't lose, did you?
No! Oh, check. Now, this is all, of course, fake sports, but I'm down 6-1 to the A's after getting, you know, a mud hole.
And you're the Astros?
Yeah. And I'm down 6-1, ninth inning. And I'm starting mounting a comeback. It's 6-2. It's 6-3. I got I don't know if his base is loaded, but Maldonado's at the plate. And by the way, in the game, this is a whole separate discussion. But in the game, Maldonado's speed rating is 6. Not 16. Not 60. 6.
It's pretty bad.
Bro, Dusty Baker's speed rating right now would be a 6.
The guy from Tiger King with the two prosthetics is a 7? Yes! Is that what you're telling me?
Dude, all right. A 6. Oh, how man. Do you get a 6, bro? I was just
you don't
like,
care.
Wow. So he's up at the plate. I think it's bases loaded. It's like two on, one or two outs. It's 6-4. I pinch hit with Ledmus Diaz, and I went yard. I won. It suck it. It was so. It's a lot of fun. I'm actually. It's nice. I don't care that it's digital sports. I'm like, it's good to just see a baseball, like, even if it's fake.
Oh, I hear
so,
you.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a good time.
Yeah. Speaking of that, if a tree falls in the woods and no one sees it, the horse competition is over.
Oh, really? Did that happen?
Yeah. I had no idea until I turned on SportsCenter this morning, and they actually were reporting on it.
No clue.
Zach LaVine lost to Mike Conley Jr. Mike Conley Jr. was the only participant playing inside in a gym, and he wanted Zach LaVine to do things that LaVine thought was risky since he was outside with rain on the court. I'm like, yeah, nothing's worth all that.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
How about even playing field? How about that?
Well, I mean, come on.
No, bro. You know what? That's like that flag football experiment the NFL had, and then one of the players tore an Achilles. They were playing beach flag football. No, he made the right move there.
I think if the NBA wanted to step their game up, all right, if they really wanted to get people to tune in, instead of a horse competition, they have a whores competition, and each guy gets $100. Or girl, each you know, you can have WNBA in on this too. And there's male whores. Everybody gets $100, and you have to go out and find the best whore for your money. Now that is, I would tune in for that.
See, and here's the thing though, because
then you got to do weird sex stuff.
Topics,
well, hold on, you got to do weird sex stuff with them, and then everybody else has to do the same weird thing. And if they can't, W, and then if you do another one, if they can't, H,
you know,
then
many
you just spell out whore
up for that. You know, you know how we said it was slim pickings in terms of the players that signed up for horse and e-gaming? I guarantee you, you'd have to turn them away. For
oh, yeah,
NBA.
You sign up
because
for horse.
You know what? That
everybody goes, look, here's how it goes. Everybody gets $500. Everybody goes to Vegas. You get $500. You find you know, a lady of the night. And then you go, okay, you do a pile driver move. Everybody else has to do the pile driver. If they can't, W. I'm telling you, this would be great. Pornhub needs to make this happen.
Bro, I don't think that you need to find – if you just take Lady of the Night out of it, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that guys would pocket the $500 because the groupies are so are so plentiful in the league that these guys would be like, yeah, do that on a Tuesday. I'll sign up for that.
But there's a difference between groupies and whores, and if you got horse, it wouldn't make sense. No one wants to go out and spell groupie. That's too long. But you could spell whore. Instead of horse, same thing.
Either way, a lot of guys are going to be pocketing a lot of that money.
Yeah, they would.
Because there's a lot of people hungry just to be around stardom.
Man.
So,
are you saying there's a bunch of thirsty girls out there? I don't believe you, Joel.
Bro, ever since I was a ball boy in Milwaukee and I was running the visiting team locker room, and after games, they'd literally line up. It was like a hot chick lineup into just the sleaziest clothes ever. And they'd line them up on a wall right outside the locker room till the players came out. And it was like 10 deep, 10,
golly.
12 deep. And I just walk out going, oh, wow. It's going to
no
be a
dignity.
Good night tonight. Yeah.
Where's your self-respect, women? Come on.
There was a lot of that going on when I was a younger lad. So, all right,
did
we'll
you
continue
ever participate?
To roll on. I'm not talking to anything you ever say. Andy Dalton, by the way, says he's open to being the backup for the Bengals and Joe Burrow. Wouldn't you for $16 million?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, saying they're not getting a lot of interest on trades for one.
Imagine that.
Andy Dalton, shocker. The Red Rocket from Katie, looking to just collect for one more year. We'll continue to roll on and collect what we can. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Tell me how hard will I fall if I live a double life.
ESPN 97.5.